Well, should our intelligence agencies be able to spy on Americans without a warrant? That, of course, is unconstitutional, and yet the FBI is doing it every day. How exactly are they doing it? They're doing it through a section of the FISA Act, which is supposed to be for spying on foreign enemies, like German Chancellor Angela Merkel, I suppose. Speaker of the House Johnson knows that the FBI has been abusing this power for years, but suddenly he just had to come to Jesus moment because he walked into a SCIF, which was one of those secure access booths where they give you classified information. He went into this booth and he saw some things that completely changed his mind. Watch.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
Have you been Excuse me.
So what did he see that was so miraculous and now changed his mind? Yes, I'm fully aware that the FBI is abusing this power and spying on Americans, but it's okay because I saw some stuff in a SCIF. Right now, our next guest just left the floor of the House of Representatives where they are voting on some procedural motions right now to bring this FISA vote to the floor, perhaps later this afternoon. It's all technical jargon. I don't want to bore you with all the technical details, but Congressman Thomas Massey has been knee-deep in this fight, trying to stand up for Americans to protect them from being warrantlessly spied upon, and the congressman joins us now. Congressman, great to see you. Thank you so much for what you're doing to fight for freedom for Americans right now.
Well, thank you for bringing me on to bore your listeners with all the technical details. I'm kidding, of course. I think SCIF stands for Secure Compartmentalized Information Facility, and I've been in that same SCIF. I call it the haunted house. In fact, they're running the haunted house right now. As the debate's going on the floor, they're still bringing members to the haunted house, aka the SCIF, and try to scare them into voting against warrants. Now, here's the problem. I've been going into those SCIFs for 12 years. In fact, I spent 3.5 hours in a SCIF with CIA, NSA, DNI, DOJ, FBI, and a FISA judge and the chair of the Intel Committee and the speaker. And in 3.5 hours, they never gave a single example of where getting a warrant on a domestic target for a search in the database would have stopped them from, you know, intervening in a terrorist attack. They've never given a specific example. What they do is they give hypotheticals. And also remember, when you're in that SCIF and you've been in there for a couple hours, your staff doesn't go in there with you. You don't get to bring your phone in there with you. You can't like do a search on something when they tell you a fact, and you can't ask your staff, is this true? Can we look this up? You're in there, you're alone, by yourself. And it's, you know, they can start persuading you. And I think that's what they did with the speaker. They just kind of scared him into doing this. But here's the problem. Even in their hypothetical situations where they say, oh, getting a warrant could take a couple days, and in the meantime, there could be a terrorist attack while we're trying to get the warrant. Well, we put an exception in there for exigent circumstances. So in other words, if the FBI has reason to believe there's an attack that's about to happen, imminent, then they could skip the warrant step. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that myself because they might claim a lot of exigent circumstances. But that's taken all the air out of the balloon and you know, out of their argument to say that getting a warrant's too difficult and it'll take too much time and it will keep them from doing their jobs.
So what does that open up a can of worms? You talk about that, right? So couldn't they just say everything rises to the level of exigent circumstance and we don't need a warrant anymore? So why are we even going to bother with the warrant process? What would trigger the exigent circumstance?
Well, you know, there is an inspector general who would review this as the practice goes underway. And the authorization that's on the floor today would be for 2 years instead of 5 years. So in 2 years, we'd have reports, we'd see how many times they claimed exigent circumstance, and then we could correct for that. So, you know, there's your good and well intentions, and then there's what they actually do, which is why these things have to expire occasionally, and why you need strong oversight. And we'll have some of that oversight. Some of the amendments that are going to be voted on here today will provide for a warrant, but also for more oversight. They'll have to tell us how many and what types of queries they did.
So what you're voting on today, and likely this afternoon when this finally gets all through the amendment process and out, is a vote for the extension of FISA for another 2 years. And it appears in some of the reporting I've seen that they're, I guess they're sort of floating this with President Trump. And if he becomes president, it would give them the opportunity then to revise, review, and change it. But the other day, President Trump was sending messages on Truth Social saying, kill FISA. So where do you think the president comes down? Where do you think the presumptive head of the Republican Party comes down on this?
Well, you know, it was going to be a 5-year renewal. And I think generally having shorter expiration dates is better. But in this case, keep in mind, if you have it up for renewal in 2 years, you're guaranteed that a president who has already renewed this once will be president when it's up for renewal. Let me deconstruct that. It's either going to be Biden or Trump who gets to renew FISA in 2 years. You're not getting, and they could do a permanent renewal, for instance. They could talk either of those guys into it because both of them will have been responsible already for a FISA renewal. Like President Trump, even though we tried to get to him while he was president and let him know that this FISA program was bad, he ultimately reauthorized it. So I think the Intel community and the Intel committee think they've got pretty good odds of convincing either Biden or Trump in 2 years that they don't need these reforms in it.
You know, we've heard from the Department of Homeland Security, of course, Alejandro Mayorkas has said, and President Biden have said, that the biggest threat to America are MAGA extremists. It's not foreign. It's not foreign extremists. It's, you know, Trump Republicans. It's MAGA extremists. And that's why we need to protect our homeland against those individuals. And yet today we see the arrest of a radical leftist who was attempting to bomb a Republican attorney general's office in Alabama with all sorts of pipe bombs and other materials. That just happened. And, you know, that guy was able to carry, nearly able to carry that out. So, you know, it seems to me that this idea, it's a canard what they're arguing right now, while our entire southern border is wide open as well, with terrorists walking across every day.
That's right. And let me tie that canard back to the skiff. If, you know, one of my colleagues, Harriet Hageman from Wyoming, asked, why aren't we getting briefings about the terrorist threats to our country because of the open border? Why isn't the intel community, why isn't the CIA and the FBI asking to drag us down to the skiff and brief us on these terrorist cells that come into the United States? It's because this isn't about terrorism. It's about going after, you know, MAGA individuals. Now, they'll say that this database was collected lawfully because that they're going to go in there and search, you know, for Americans' information. They'll say it's collected lawfully because we didn't need a warrant to collect it, so we don't need a warrant to search it. But the reason they didn't need a warrant to collect it is they were going after foreigners in a foreign country. Here, keep this in mind, though. One of the reasons America is so efficient at collecting this data is almost every email goes through America. Like, you know, the trunks, the service providers, the whole internet, we're kind of at the center of it. So we have the ability to collect that information, and they collect a lot of it. Now, they'll tell you they're only targeting like leaders of Hamas, but they are targeting the Chancellor of Germany's, you know, senior staff because they can. Those people don't have constitutional protections. And then the types of abuses we've seen, like somebody went in to and put their dad's name in the database to see if their dad was cheating on their mom. Okay. Somebody went in, an NSA employee, and put their Tinder date's name into the database to do a search. Now, we can presume they didn't suspect their Tinder date of being Hamas. Probably there's enough information in there to, you know, private information that you might be able to glean if this person's having a relationship with somebody. So, you know, they say, well, if you have nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about. But relationships are private, for instance. And if you present a threat to the government, as we've seen in the Weaponization Committee, they will do everything in their power. The government will. It's like a giant Borg. And we saw this with the Twitter files and the censorship. It doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be illegal information that you're sharing. If it's misinformation, disinformation, wrong think,
right?
You know, then they're going to target you. So that's why you don't want to let them go around snooping in there. They've done it. They admittedly, they violated their own protocols over 200,000 times. Now, every time they've done a query, they violated the Constitution. Their own protocols are much lower than the threshold of probable cause and a warrant in the Constitution. But we know they're violating it. Some will argue that this bill on the floor doesn't need any amendments, that there are 50-some reforms in there. But the problem is those 50 reforms rely on the DOJ and the FBI to police the DOJ and the FBI. And we know there's political bias there. They've been terrible at it.
You know, a friend of the show, Kyle Serafin, former FBI whistleblower, has, you know, he's been fighting this 702 carve out in the FISA legislation for years now. It's been his cause de celeb, so to speak. And he said, you know, the way that they're using this, right, it starts out, right, that they're going after foreign adversaries, but then they use it to drum up potential crimes that have nothing to do with the initial dragnet, so to speak. So they use this as a backdoor to be able to go after individuals through searches and other things and be able to pin things on people that had nothing to do with the initial search. And that's how they've been able to, and they know that the gun is hidden in the safe, even though they didn't get a warrant to go in and see it, because
right.
They saw through this dragnet process that there's a gun in the safe through an email that came through nefariously without a warrant. So they're using this unconstitutionally. And so I think most Americans maybe don't understand how complex this is and how nefarious this is. But they are using this regularly to capture Americans.
It's pervasive. And today we're going to vote on six amendments. Three constrain the program even more, like, for instance, the warrant or the reporting requirements or getting rid of the abouts collection where they can search, where they can collect information. Even if you use Osama bin Laden's name in an email, then you go into their database. So there's three amendments that would constrain it. But there are three amendments that would expand the FISA program. One is to expand the definition of internet service provider to include like a Wi-Fi cell. Okay,
your own home with a Wi-Fi mesh network would become an internet service provider.
Could be. And so another way that they're expanding it, they're saying, and this is Dan Crenshaw's amendment, is to say, okay, we're not just going to go after terrorism. We're going to go after narcotics. So they're expanding it to the drug war. Now, what will happen is you will incorporate, and drugs are precursors to drugs. So, you know, question is, you can make meth with Sudafed. If you buy Sudafed from Mexico, now are you going to be swept up in that database? Or if you just go to the website, you know, that has a drug, let's say ivermectin, okay?
Right.
You're trying to buy ivermectin, but now you get swept into it because it's a website that also sells something that's considered a precursor. So, you know, it's not that we're against going after drug lords and cartels in Mexico, okay? And they certainly don't have constitutional rights. But when you expand the amount of information that's collected, it's just a bigger dragnet, and you're going to incidentally, they call it, collect more information on Americans. Now, one thing that I really have to point out, and I pointed this out in my debate on the floor, is that if Congress was really comfortable with this bill, why did they put carve-outs for themselves in this bill?
Right.
If they're trying to tell you that FISA's fine, got nothing to worry about, all these internal audits and these internal controls will keep in the Senate and the House, what they've done. Now, the Gang of Eight in this case includes the Intel committees in both bodies, not every member of the Intel committee. And then if they're, you know, a lot of times they say, oh, we're just trying to protect a congressman or an individual from some foreign actor. You know, we may think a terrorist is trying to do something to you, so we want to run a search with your name in it. If they want to do that, they actually have to get the permission of the congressman. Now, as a congressman, I appreciate that notion. And in fact, I'm sure some of my colleagues appreciate it so much that they may vote for this bill when they otherwise wouldn't have. But the problem is, this bill, there should be a warrant provision in there that is so solid that Congress is not worried about the FBI abusing the program on members of Congress. But if Congress is worried about the FBI abusing the program on members of Congress, then Americans should be worried about the FBI abusing the program on them. And so that's a big red flag for me.
Oh, absolutely. Hallelujah on that. While you were coming up here and you were walking up the steps to do this interview, Representative Turner was on the floor from Ohio, and you probably missed what he said, but as you were walking up here, he said that this would provide constitutional rights to our enemies. You're giving warrant protection to ISIS, basically, if you allow the if you want to roll back or add in this warrant amendment to make sure that the FBI can't warrantlessly wiretap Americans. You're helping the enemy, Congressman.
Read the front of the amendment. This amendment says that you need to get a warrant to go into data collected by 702. 702 data, which we all agree, everybody on this floor agrees, 702 data is the collection of foreigners abroad. That's Hamas, Hezbollah, Communist China's Party, Al-Qaeda. What they want is a warrant to search the inbox and outbox of Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, and the Communist Chinese Party when they are communicating with people in the United States. This is dangerous. It will make us go blind, and it will absolutely increase their recruitment of people inside the United States, not even American citizens, to do terrorist attacks, recruit for espionage, and to harm Americans, I reserve.
Yeah, that's hyperbole. He knows that's not true. Eight weeks ago, he almost created an international crisis, Chairman Turner did. We were about to vote on this and the warrant provisions. And he said, oh, no, I got some, you know, the Russians have this new capability in space and, you got to come down to the skiff. And he created such a stir that I know members of Congress were getting texts from their family members like, is it time to go to the bunker? Do we need to go to the house in the country? But that's the length that he will go to try to stop the warrant provision from happening. So I hope not too many of my colleagues fall for that. You've got really two chairmen and two ranking members at odds here. This actually doesn't break down on partisan lines. You've got the Republican and the Democrat who chair the Intel Committee who don't want warrants. And then you've got the Republican and the Democrat, that's Jim Jordan and Jerry Nadler, of the Judiciary Committee, who say, if you don't put warrants in this bill, we're not voting for it. So it's interesting how the lines are being drawn here. And, by the way, that special exemption for Congress, when Congress gets notified if a congressman's being spied on, it's actually Mike Turner who gets notified, not Jim Jordan.
Right.
That should trouble you a little bit, because we've actually found out that there were two members of Congress that have been spied on. One was a member of the Intel Committee, Darren LaHood, and the other was Devin Nunes, who was the chairman of the Intel Committee, while he was in Congress. I find it very odd that the only real people that we know about who got spied on by the FBI in Congress are actually members of the Intel Committee. Maybe that's because the Intel Committee gets notifications and the rest of Congress does not. I believe there are probably 50, 100, maybe all 435 of us who have been queried in that database or in some other way been abused using the FISA program or privacy. It's troubling, but I don't want to give special protection to members of Congress that Americans don't get.
Yeah, again, hallelujah on that. I'll get you out of here on this, Congressman. I know you have a busy day. Do you think that this is going to pass later this afternoon? Of course, this vote is happening. What do you think is going to happen?
It's a good question. I think FISA will pass. I can't tell you how many of the six amendments will pass. I am very hopeful that the warrant provision passes. What will happen is, if the warrant passes or doesn't pass, it'll be a different group of people who vote to renew FISA if they vote to renew it, because some people are just adamantly opposed to the warrant provision. Even the chairman of Intel, who claims that we'll go dark and terrorists will, attack this country if this thing lapses for even an hour, he may be in the position where if the warrant provision passes, he eats his own words and stops this thing from getting reauthorized. I don't know what his position is on that. I don't know what the speaker's position is. The speaker, unfortunately, as you alluded to, is against the warrant provision. But would he vote for FISA if the warrant provision makes it in? So there's five other amendments. Not sure how they're going to shake out, but the warrant provision is the one to watch because that will affect the final vote on FISA.
All right. Well, here we go. Meanwhile, the southern border is wide open. And welcome on in. Come on in where the main terrorists are pouring in the United States. Congressman, I know you have a busy day. Thank you so much for taking some time out in between all these votes today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And we'll publish the final roll call on this so people can hold their members accountable.
Great. Thank you so much, Congressman.
Thanks.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.